Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Gold Coast teacher Trishelle Grady was competing in an international dragon boat regatta in Prague before she took a side trip with her church for a short-term mission in Uganda on the way back home. That first visit triggered a love for the children of that country that saw her relocate in 2011 and found the not-for-profit 100% Hope, giving children a future by building self-sufficiency in their community. Here, Trishelle shares her first visit to Uganda.
I'd connected with some people at my church at the Gold Coast with a pastor over in Uganda, and I was the first person to go over there and see what it was actually like.
Okay.
I headed in literally cold, arrived at the airport expecting for this pastor to be there, and found a complete stranger with my name on a piece of paper, and I was like, surely with the name Trishelle, there's nobody else who could have that name around. Went with a stranger.
Wow.
And as we were driving through to the capital city, I said to the man, is Uganda a safe place? He's like, yeah, it's really safe now. Because the only thing I knew about it was about Idi Amin with the civil war.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes later, I was held up at gunpoint in riots, and that was my welcome to Uganda.
Aside from being held up, what was it about your time in Uganda that made you want to go back so desperately?
I just fell in love with the people, the kids, loved their attitude to life. Even though they had nothing, they just had so much joy. And it just felt like home.
It's a long leap from a mission trip to relocating, though.
Well, initially, I was just going back each year for increasingly longer periods of time. And then I remember sitting in the airport in January 2012, coming back to Australia, just crying my eyes out, saying, I don't want to go back to Australia. Uganda's my home now. And I just said to God, God, whenever you're ready for me to go, then I'm ready.
Was there a moment when you knew it was time to go back and make it permanent?
It was in March 2012, and I went to hear the machine gun preacher. He works in southern Sudan and northern Uganda and has really helped to fight against the Joseph Kony and the child soldiers. He goes in and rescues families and villages and helps the kids to rehabilitate back into normal life. So I was so inspired by his story. And as I was driving home, I felt God say to me, now's the time to go. Fulfill every commitment that you've made. Fulfill every promise. Tie up any loose end. Pack your life into one suitcase. Book a one-way ticket and go to Uganda.
Share a little about the kids and the challenges that you found in working with children who have been through so much so early.
It has been a real challenge, especially trying to deal with things and not be too emotional about it. We go into situations nearly every day where we work with the police. We get an abandoned child. I can get phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning with a 3-week baby that's been dumped on a street. It's difficult to take those kids in and not, you know, get so emotionally attached that you just want to keep them for yourself. But we want to make sure that they have that good life where we can put them into one of our homes and develop that family loving environment for them, to take them from where they've got nothing, where they've got no hope. They haven't even thought about what they want to be for the future, and to be able to take them, put them in school, give them medical, give them good nutrition and give them a loving mother that can look after them. It's such a reward to see that change and that development in the kids' lives.
How old are these kids?
We, at the moment, the kids are aged from 2 up to 20.
2?
Yeah, just recently we had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old sister that we got off the street, and the mum was there, but she would often leave them. We found this 2- and 3-year-old with third-degree burns where they were cooking for the family, trying to dig to get little bits of food to survive, and they had jiggers, which are worms, all through their feet. They're in a terrible condition, and we find these little tiny kids doing what a mature adult should be doing.
Street corners, rural roads, where are these children?
In all different places. Some we've found hiding in schools from where parents have tried to kill them. Some we've found in normal families, but where the family literally has nothing. Some we've found dumped on a street. So all different situations. Some we found at the police station.
How have you personally dealt with the scale of the atrocities, the barbarities that have been played out in these children's lives?
To be perfectly honest, I just go into my room and cry at different times. It has been challenging at times. There's been times where I've just wanted to pack my bag and come back to Australia because the horror of it has been so difficult to cope with at times. But then I see these kids and I see their smiling faces. I now have a beautiful adopted daughter. And when I wake up some mornings and I just feel like I can't get up and keep going, she comes in, mummy, mummy, and gives me a big smile, and it reminds me of why I'm there.
Share her story with us.
Well, I first met Hope when she was 8 weeks old. in another baby's home, and I went in there and found it in quite a mess and found her lying in her own filth with three other little baby girls. And she looked up at me and I said, "What's her name?" And they said, "Wendy," which is my mum's name. So I was like, "No, Trishelle, you can't just take a baby." And I went home that night and wrestled with God. And in the morning, I felt God say to me, "Go and take her as your daughter, not go and foster her or anything like that. Take her as your daughter." So I went there to the orphanage and said to the lady, "I felt God tell me this." And she said, "In 2 weeks, you'll have your daughter." And during that 2 weeks, I went to take her to get her immunizations, and she was already registered as Hope Wendy Mercy. And I always wanted to call my first daughter Hope. So it was just an amazing story. And her birth mother is mentally unstable. She can't talk. She lives on the street. They don't have government facilities for people like that. And she's frequently raped. So we don't know even know the mother's name. And so Hope was born on the street to this mother. Somebody from across the road in a small little street shop had to come over and help to cut the umbilical cord and clean her up. But still, the government didn't come and intervene. And so the biological mother was carrying Hope around as a newborn in the wet weather. And then she would bring her back on the street and cover her with dirt and leaves and plastic bags. And that's what she knew to do. And then the motorbike drivers, they sit in gangs over there, and it's the most frequent form of transport. They gathered together in the marketplace and stole Hope from the mother, and they were going to sacrifice her because child sacrifice still happens even though it's illegal there. And they thought that if they sacrificed the baby that it would remove the demons from the mother. And as they gathered there to sacrifice Hope, finally the government intervened and were able to get Hope out of there. So she's really a miracle baby. She has complete health. And she's actually ahead of all of her milestones, and she's really the joy of my life.
So how old is she now?
She's now 21 months, a ball of energy.
And you're engaged too.
I'm getting married in 3 weeks to a Ugandan man. He's a farmer, and he also helped to establish 100% over in Uganda, 100% Hope, with two other local people. So there are four of us who are directors. And, yeah, just the most beautiful man.
Now, 100% Hope is an undeveloped block of land at this point?
We've started building a school, and we're going to be opening kindergarten next year to the community, which is quite exciting. So we plan that 50% will be fee-paying and 50% kids that we can help, so then it will be self-sustainable. We always want to make sure that we're doing things that are self-sustainable. And at the moment, only 13% of young kids actually have access to pre-primary education, so there's a real need for that over there. We also have a pig project, which the Australian government helped to fund with a grant, and that's also helping us to be more sustainable. We have agriculture, we have a church, and we've got 6.5 acres that are undeveloped at the moment, and that's where we plan to eventually build permanent children's homes.
In looking back at these many decisions in your life to date, what's been the net effect on your faith?
My faith has grown like never before. I honestly went over there a little bit naive, thinking it'll be great. I'll get to play with kids and have this amazing life. And it is an amazing life. It's very rewarding, but it's also been quite challenging. The last 2 years I've been thrown in prison. I've had false allegations. I've been caught up in court cases against me trying to extort money. I've had malaria 5 times. I've had people paid to kill me so that they can get rid of me because of jealousy with what we're doing there. And it has been very challenging, but at the same time, when I see the development in the kids and from where they've come to where they are now in the last 2 years, it's just exciting to see what God's doing in their life.
How can we support you?
There are a variety of ways, actually, that people can get involved. Sometimes people like to donate money. Sometimes people like to come and volunteer. We're actually doing a Journey of Hope next Easter for 2 weeks, where 20 people from around the world are able to sign up and come over and volunteer and build our first children's home, which is very much needed because we've only got temporary structures at the moment. People can also sponsor children. They can sponsor staff, and they can get involved in those ways through our website or through Facebook.
I'm sure there have been many, but what have been the greatest blessings to you in your time in Uganda?
I've had quite a few blessings. I left Australia as a single woman, and now 2 years later I've come back engaged, about to be married, and a mother of a beautiful 21-month-old baby. So that's a huge blessing in my life. Then the other blessings are just what we've seen in the community. like I've said, taking these kids from nothing and now seeing them having dreams, wanting to be a doctor, wanting to be a teacher, things that they never thought were possible, and now it's going to be a reality for them because of people here helping.
Trishelle, I know that your time is short when you come back to Australia. Thank you so much for squeezing us into your schedule, and we'll stay in touch, and all the best with 100% Hope.
Thank you so much. So yeah, you can check out 100% Hope and find us from there.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.